What do all these people have in common?
A Viking impersonator who makes his living full-time as a Viking. A 94-year-old woman who is a baker at a giant supermarket and works 6 days a week. The world's youngest barber, an 8-year-old girl from West Philly with more moxie than anyone I've ever met.
They're all from the Philadelphia area, and there's only one person who's made a career writing about them.
My name is Stephanie Farr. I'm the Philly Culture Reporter with the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Since 2017, Stephanie has written 70 profiles about the city's offbeat characters in her We the People series.
The way I like to describe my beat is that I write about what makes Philly weird, wild, and wonderfully unique.
Today, on this first day of 2020, we bring you some of the stories of why Philly is Philly. It's people. I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. So you got to tell me how the series got started. I mean, you know, because you and I both know this isn't what journalists typically do.
Right, right. So we had a discussion. One of my colleagues had talked about how he one time read a story in his hometown newspaper about the man who held the door open for people at Home Depot. And he was fascinated to learn about this man's life, who he'd seen every time he went to the store, but never, you know, really asked. And out of that kind of came this idea for a series about the everyday people in Philadelphia you may see and want to know more about.
So I always wondered this, Stephanie, every time I read one of your stories. It's like, how did she find that person?
Sure. When I first started the series, I just wandered around the city for a week or two looking for people that I found interesting. I went into Reading Terminal Market, asked who the most interesting person there was. I was led to the director of maintenance, who had also played the steel drums
right.
with Jimmy Buffett. And so at first it was just people I would find on the street or interact with. And then in each profile, we'd include a call out for readers to give me ideas.
Yeah.
And that has been just one of my favorite parts about doing this series, is hearing from the people in Philadelphia about who they think is interesting.
Well, let's just jump right into some of these profiles. And I want to start with Gilbert Hilton, because this guy, he reminds me of the old players in my neighborhood.
Oh, he is.
That I grew up with. So why don't you tell me a little bit about him?
I started getting into cars when I was about 22, 23. Always liked them pimp cars.
Oh, gosh, this was one of the most fun interviews that I've had, because Gilbert had no filter. Which is great, because a lot of Philadelphia doesn't have a filter, which is one of the things I love about this city, is that people are honest.
Yes.
So this idea actually came because people were posting pictures of his car on Reddit. So Gilbert Hilton drives around a 2004 Cadillac SRX that he calls the Badillac. And that is because it is covered in about $1,000 worth of household items from that he buys at Goodwill. Anything from candelabras to deviled egg trays to spoons and TV stands. You see this and you can't look away.
So did you find out why he decorates his car like this?
Sure. So it started, him and his cousin were just sitting around, bored, drinking, smoking weed, and they looked out at his car and thought, well, let's decorate it. And so they bought some, you know, standard chrome outlines of a naked lady or a bulldog, and so it started that way. And then he ends up having a heart attack and a triple bypass. He had just been partying too hard. I believe his exact quote to me was, "My heart.
I just got tired of me snorting that cocaine and drinking."
And this guy is no spring chicken.
No, he's 74 years old. I mean, he's not. I got to tell you, and I asked him at one point, I said, "Well, how many kids do you have, Gilbert?" He says, "About 8. He wasn't sure. Somewhere around that. So, you know, he has this heart attack and he has to stop.
I was just sitting around and nothing to do. I can't drink no more. I can't mess with women no more. The doctor says everything is bad for my health. What can I do? Looked at my car. without messing with the car.
And so he decided to channel his energy into his car, and he actually takes a power drill and power drills these items onto his car. And it's quite the sight to behold.
Out of 10 people, one might not like it. Most everybody like it. But like that person, the ones that don't like it, I see they don't have class. They don't have no class. They don't know nothing.
The other fascinating person that I thought was Madame Saito, the sushi maker, and how she was able... Well, tell me about her.
So she's been making sushi in the Philadelphia area and teaching classes on how to do it for more than 30 years.
We have a small roll like this with the seaweed outside, rice and ingredient. We say...
She was the first female sushi chef in Philly. And when she started, people were still freaked out by the idea of eating raw fish. Yeah. Now it's commonplace, it's beloved, but she really had to tell people about it when she first started in order to kind of get over this fear.
I opened the restaurant, then a lot of customers come just ask every day, why you eat raw? What is a sushi? I think that, okay, I start to teach the classes. So then everyone know what is a sushi, how to eat sushi, and why we eat sushi.
She claims that she is the inventor of the Philadelphia roll. According to her, she was giving a sushi making presentation at Longwood Gardens and made this roll, and she presented it as the Jewish roll because she thought it was like the bagel and lox she had with her Jewish friends. But the crowd told her, no, call it the Philly roll, call it the Philadelphia roll. And whether that was because this was in the Philly suburbs or because the roll contained Philadelphia cream cheese, it's unclear. But she said, OK, I'll go with it. And ran with it from there.
I love about sushi that even you learn just one basic class first and later you can create thousands of ideas that you have.
How did she learn how to make sushi?
So when she was growing up in Japan, she had always wanted to be a sushi chef, but women weren't really allowed to become sushi chefs at the time, so she would train with sushi chefs after hours in Japan just to learn the craft. And then she eventually came to Philadelphia because she wanted her three sons to attend the University of Pennsylvania, and all three did and became doctors.
She was fascinating to me in the way that she was able to make her own dream come true, you know?
Yeah, this is a very strong woman who had a passion and pursued it against all odds. Very positive and very upbeat and has an incredible array of stories to share, both about sushi making and about being a restaurateur in Philadelphia.
When we come back...
And then there is Pete the Groin Crusher.
Wait, what? Who? This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking with Philadelphia Inquirer culture reporter Stephanie Farr about the Philadelphians she's profiled in her series, We the People. So, Stephanie, you've done 70 of these. You got to tell me what your favorite interview is.
It's hard to pick a favorite, but I would say two that really stick out for me. One was Campbell Smith, a young man from Germantown, an artist who happens to have autism, who started painting and was incredibly skilled at that. But when his dad ran out of money for canvases and couldn't buy him supplies anymore, he went to the trash and pulled out cardboard and started making these intricate building sculptures that are mind-blowing. And when I met him in January, he was relatively unknown. And over the last year, he's kind of risen so much that his pieces are now selling for $15,000. And he had a gallery show here in Center City last month. And I was just crying as I was looking at the gallery, looking at how many people came. And it's not just him. His father is an incredible veteran who has another son with autism. So he's a single dad raising two sons with autism, and the talent in that whole family is remarkable.
It's important to me that he be developed as an artist. I want him to have something going forward into the future. I don't want it to let's say phase out. You know, he sell his art, you know, and then, you know, you don't hear about him anymore. You know, I want him to be like a Picasso, somebody who go down in history.
They just really expanded my idea of what was possible, and that was a really beautiful feeling.
He's constantly evolving, but as a person, he's a phenomenon. And that's the only thing I can say about him. He and his brother, they just amaze me, and I enjoy watching them. I just get a kick out of it.
And then there is Pete the Groin Crusher.
Wait, what?
Yes, so his nickname over at Pennsylvania Hospital is Pete the Groin Crusher, and his official title is as a hemostasis tech, and his job is to, when patients come out of heart surgery and they pull the catheter out of their femoral artery, his job is to put pressure on that wound so it forms a clot and you don't spurt out blood. He does that for 20 minutes, so he gets to know people fairly well when he's holding their groin for 20
That's
minutes.
Sure, pretty intimately.
You know, he cried when I walked up for the interview. He was just like, I'm just so moved that somebody nominated me for this series. He cried several times, and he wasn't ashamed about it. And that's, you know, I really love that. I find that typical of, like, guys in South Philly are the easiest to cry of any people I've ever met. And no shame, but he was just beloved by patients, and he's just someone who loves what he does and loves people so much that it really, it makes me love people all over again. And I already love most of the people I meet.
So, Stephanie, I know you've covered hard news, but you've been doing this for a couple of years now, and you've met so many interesting people. Has it changed the way that you see Philadelphia as a cynical journalist?
Well, I have to tell you, I don't think I've ever fit the mold of cynical journalist. You know, I'm someone who has always believed that people are good and generally want to help you. And even when I was a crime reporter and I saw some of the worst of the city, I always saw a glimmer of hope either in the way that people responded in the neighborhood or the way a family told their story about how they loved someone. I've always really believed that Philly has good people. I think we don't have a reputation as being the nicest city sometimes. You know, there's no Philly charm or hospitality that's talked about, you know, abroad, but we're honest. And I think that that makes the city just such a wonderfully unique place full of people who are themselves, unabashedly themselves, and I love it.
Yeah, so do I. Stephanie, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your stories today. It's great to see you again.
Oh, great to see you, Annette. Thank you.
Stephanie Farr is a reporter with the Philadelphia Inquirer. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. We had editing help for this episode from Eugene Son. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you get your podcasts. We're eager to get your feedback, and it also helps us get noticed. Thanks for listening, and Happy New Year.